Where do you stand this afternoon? In just a few moments, we're going to stand together to sing a song to invite you to stand with us on Christ the Solid Rock. We're glad to have you. We have visitors with us, and we thank you for coming. Appreciate the prayer for boldness and the good reading from the book of 1 Timothy 5. I'm capitalizing on seven words in verse 22 to talk to us about one of the most dangerous pitfalls along the path of the Christian's journey: partaking of sins of others. Not only must we be right ourselves, but we must not take part in other sins. Now, I want to call your attention this afternoon to several ways that you and I could partake of sins of others. Not that we can do that, or to encourage us to do that, but to point out some ways to help us prevent ourselves from falling in that pitfall. I suggest to you one way that you and I from 1 Timothy 5:22 can become guilty of partaking of the sins of others is by failing to instruct and nurture the lives of those for which we are responsible. Can you think of the lives of those for which you're responsible to nurture, to instruct, and to train? How about your children? Those of whom you have legal guardianship. The Scriptures place a great deal of emphasis on the teaching and the training of our young people. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul addressed Ephesian fathers. He said, "Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up out in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." I have responsibility as a father to do that. That's one that you and I need to take seriously. In Proverbs 22 and verse 6, the wise man said, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it." I realize that children have a mind of their own and decide ultimately which way they will go. But as a father, and you as a mother, have responsibility to train them up in the way they should go. They need to know that way. Back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible puts emphasis on teaching your children, teach them unto thy sons. When we fail to do that, we can partake in the sins of others. Remember Eli of the Old Testament? When in 1 Samuel chapter 2, we read of his sons of Eli, that were described as sons of Belial, they knew not the Lord. Verse 12 says, verse 22 reports, "Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them." Though Eli did not endorse the sins of his son, he was a partaker nonetheless. In 1 Samuel 3:11, the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I'll do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle." Here's some ear-tingling words. "In that day I'll perform against Eli all things which I've spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I've told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile," listen, "and he restrain them not." Back in chapter 2, verses 31 and 34, it was said, "Behold, the days come that I'll cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thy house, and thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation. And all the wealth which God shall give Israel, there shall not be an old man in thine house forever." As a result of his partaking in the sins of others, by failing to nurture and instruct properly those for which he was responsible. You read in chapter 4 of 1 Samuel where Israel was smitten before the Philistines. 30,000 soldiers perished. Verse 10 says, there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. The ark of God was taken. Verse 11. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. Verse 11. That's a sad story in the annals of divine history. And it helps to remind us of the importance of the very thing we're talking about this afternoon, not partaking of the sins of others. Another way we can do that is by quietly approving of one's unsound teaching. There's a lot of unsoundness being trumpeted from even churches of Christ so-called today. And there would be those who would not agree with the things that are being said or being taught, but they don't say anything about it. They just quietly approve. In 2 John 9, John said, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, he hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him God speed. For he that biddeth him God speed is what? Partaker. That's what we're talking about. Partaker of what? His evil deeds. It's one thing for an individual to teach false doctrine, to advocate error, and there'll be those who may not agree with it, they may not teach that, but by quietly approving it, not giving answer to it, just going along with it, they're a partaker of sins of others. Paul emphasized in his Roman letter, in Romans chapter 16 and verse 17, the importance of adhering to sound doctrine. He said, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and what? Continue with them? No, he said, avoid them. Writing Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 3, he said, if any man teach otherwise, doesn't make any difference who it is. That's without any further qualification. Any man. And consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He's proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. And what did he say to do? Last four words. From such withdraw thyself. Like it or not, there comes a time when you have to withdraw yourself from such. Otherwise, you become partaker of the sins of others. But also, we can partake of sins of others by joining with men in an act of sin and doing as they do. It's bad enough to sin alone, isn't it? But we can join with others in sin and partake in that, be a participant in that. Like why Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 14, when there would be those who would say, cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. You're partaking in others' sins when you cast your lot in that purse. His advice, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Don't go with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. There's some places we don't need to go. There's some people we don't need to be with. There's such a thing as guilt by association. Just by being with the wrong crowd. Joining with them. And that's a temptation for a lot of people. If left to themselves, they probably wouldn't do that. But when given the right situation, or the wrong situation rather, with the wrong group of people, then they become a partaker of other people's sins. The fourth way that we can fall prey to this is by tempting others to sin. I reckon one who tempts another is the devil's best servant. And there are a lot of people in the world who are in that business of tempting and enticing and seducing people to sin. Like in the letter written to the church at Thyatira in Revelation 2, in verse 20, when Jezebel is mentioned, it is written, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Like Jezebel, who taught and seduced others to sin, there are many who lead others to drink, to engage in profanity, to use dope and all kind of works of the flesh are involved in because of the influence of others, that temptation. Most people that have been enticed to smoke started smoking because of that enticement. Somebody tempted them, encouraged them, tried to give them incentive to do that, or to drink, or whatever else it is that they involved themselves in. That started as a result of being tempted to do that. Back in the book of Habakkuk, in chapter 2, when we find a warning about this kind of thing, when the prophet said, "Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor to drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness." When you give your neighbor drink, put your bottle to him like that, you're partaking of his sins. The book of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10 finds these wise words from Solomon. "My son, if sinners entice thee," remember the last three words? "Consent thou not." That is, just say no. Don't do it. Don't give in. In the book of Matthew 18, when in verse 6 the Lord said, "Whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone," you familiar with a millstone? Go up to Bridgeton to the mill. They have a big millstone. You're familiar with that. He said, "It's better if a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Better for you than to tempt others to sin, to offend in that regard." But also, not only can we partake of sins of others through these channels, but also by setting a bad example before others. It's bad to follow a bad example. But we're going to share in the guilt of the one who follows us, like a drunken, cursing father. Because of his bad example, he has a drunken, cursing son. He's partaking of his sins in that he has set that example before him. In Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16, it is said, "Let your light so shine before men, and ye are the salt of the earth." Philippians 2:15 talks about, "Among whom ye shine as lights in the world." And so it's ever important that we do that. But also, we can partake of other sins by employing others to sin, like David did with Uriah. Back in 2 Samuel 11 and 12, when Nathan the prophet came to him with the message of God, and in 2 Samuel 12, 9, he said, "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon." Though he didn't physically do that himself, it was as if he did it. The Lord held him responsible for that. He was partaker of sins of others. As David said in a written letter in chapter 11, verse 15, "Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him that he be smitten and die." And so David was held responsible because he implored others to sin. You might say, "Well, I didn't actually do it myself." But by getting someone to do it for you, it's just the same, isn't it? Remember in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, when we read of Saul who was consenting unto Stephen's death. He was consenting unto it. In fact, he was there holding the clothes of those that did it. And he might not have been one that took up a rock or stone to cast at him, but he might as well have by consenting unto it, by partaking of sins of others. He was responsible. But also, we can partake of sins of others by not warning the sinner of his way. The Lord set Ezekiel as a watchman to the house of Israel. And his twofold duty as a watchman was to hear the Lord's word and to give warning. You read about that in two places in this book, Ezekiel chapter 3 and 33. In Ezekiel 3, beginning in verse 18, the Lord said, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity." Listen. "But his blood will I require at thine hand." Why at thine hand? Because you didn't warn him. You didn't say anything. Back in the book of Isaiah, listen to the watchman teaching. In chapter 62 and verse 6, he said, "I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence." And so the watchman had a duty to speak, to warn, not to hold their peace. When we hold our peace, when we keep silence, instead of warning and saying what needs to be said, we partake of the sins of others. Somebody say, "I don't know how they might take that. I don't know what their attitude is going to be about that." Doesn't make any difference as far as you're concerned. It's your responsibility, it's my job, to not keep silence. Too much is at stake. We're trying to save their soul and deliver ours at the process. But also, I'll read in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14, where Paul said, "Brethren, warn them that are unruly." That's a responsibility we all have. And there are those who are unruly, to warn them. A lot of times people go to somebody else. They say, "Somebody needs to say something about that. I mean, those people are unruly. I wish somebody would take care of that." Are you somebody? How about warning them? Are you a brother? Are you brethren? How about warning them in the proper spirit? It might just help save a soul. Like Paul said in Galatians 6:1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Paul said in Ephesians 5:11, "To have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Some have fellowship, they participate in it. Others have no fellowship, but they don't reprove them. They don't warn them. They don't say anything about it. And thus become partaker of the sins of others. One other one I want to point out to us. We can become partakers in the sins of others by being a member of a church with unscriptural doctrines and practices. Have you thought about that? There's some who would say, "I don't approve of the doctrines of our church. Or I don't approve of all of the practices of the church of which I'm a member." But they remain with that particular group and thus become partaker of sins of others. When you say that, you say, "I don't agree with everything that goes on." Right? Some of you have left places because you realize that you don't want to be a partaker of the things that are going on that are unscriptural. And so you had no choice but to leave and to identify yourself with those who are interested in holding fast the pattern of sound words. But there are those who say, I don't agree with everything that goes on. You know what you're doing? You've condemned yourself already. And you need to get out while you can, while you have the opportunity. Because you're partaking of the sins of others by remaining in that environment, in that group, in that atmosphere. You know, the Bible shows that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. And you can't allow the smallest amount of error to be introduced and still have the truth 100%. That's why the Bible says, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Just a little bit will cause a lump to be leavened. Paul said, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. This church that you've been a member of, that you've worked with and you've been worshiping with, do they do all in the name of the Lord? Do they? Well, most of it. If it's most, it's not all, is it? And if it's all, it's not most. You can't have it both ways. Do all in the name of the Lord. If they won't do all in the name of the Lord, then you need to be where they do all in the name of the Lord. I challenge you about that. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Remember the admonition that Paul gave to Timothy? He said, hold fast. Hold fast what? The form, that is the pattern of sound words. Don't be a partaker of the sins of others. Hold fast that pattern, that form of sound words. And we're committed to doing that here. I'm privileged to work with those who demand book, chapter, and verse preaching. That one of thus saith the Lord, who are determined to do all in the name of the Lord. If the Lord has commanded it, that's what we're going to do. But if it's not authorized, we're just going to leave it off. We're not going to do it. And I appreciate that attitude and that disposition. And we hope that you'll join with us in holding fast the form of sound words. And if you identify some area that is not sound, something that we teach or something that we practice here that does not line up with what the Bible teaches, you'd be our friend if you'd point that out to us so that we can look into that. And if it be the case, we'll make the proper correction, I assure you. If we need to change our teaching or our practice to line up with the Bible, we will. But I fear that too many people in too many places are making changes to the Word of God, adding to it, taking away from it, to try to make it line up with what they teach and what they practice. And they've got it backwards. So as you read 1 Timothy 5:22, don't overlook the responsibility couched in those words, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Not only must we be right ourselves, but we can't afford to partake of the sins of others. Appreciate your good attention today. Hope that the Lord will help each one of us to make proper application of the study. And if we can be of help to you personally in any way, a spiritual way, we make ourselves available to you. To study, to be of some encouragement to you along life's journey. It's possible there could be one or more in this audience who's not yet become a child of God, and everything's ready that you might put on Christ today. To hear His Word, to believe on Him, to repent of your sins as commanded by Him, to confess Him before men, to be buried with Him in baptism, to dedicate yourself to being faithful unto death. If you've not done that, why not now? If you've obeyed in time past, but you've drifted away, maybe you've partaken in the sins of others. You've not been what you need to be. You need to say, Father, I have sinned. And He stands ready to welcome us back, to restore us, to forgive us upon the confession of our wrongdoing. 1 John 1:9. Can we help you? If so, come now while we stand and while we sing.